glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in the Spirit, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
This teaching, I sat down some time ago to think about what to teach. I had absolutely no idea whatsoever, but a particular Greek word, I guess, came to my mind, or I had been thinking about it. A word translated perseverance, or to persevere, to abide. And so I kind of built on that, and we're just going to basically read a lot of cool scriptures. But to get started, the teaching is titled, Just Like a Tree That's Planted by the Waters. And many of you would continue singing, I Shall Not Be Moved, a song that if I had a nickel for every time I led it in public, I might be in Tahiti. So, but what we're talking about here tonight is faithfulness, longevity. So, next month, this is September of 2017, and next month will mark 52 years since I first prayed out loud. I was just shy of 22 years old, and I was with a group of Christians at Kentucky Lake State Park in Minnesota. No, it's in Kentucky, for heaven's sake. And I prayed out loud for the first time. This past May marked 50 years since I first spoke in tongues in a hotel at Nags Head, North Carolina. That hotel is no longer there. It was taken down some years ago. I wanted to take Elizabeth there, but the hotel is not there anymore. But it was May of 1967 that I spoke in tongues there. Jimmy Carter's sister, who has been deceased for a couple of decades or more, kind of helped me with that. And bless her heart, we were dear pals when I was at Fort Bragg in Fayetteville, North Carolina, as a young bachelor officer. And this coming December will mark 50 years since I sat for 3 days and three nights in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, and soaked up 34 hours of a class called Power for Abundant Living. And as I thought about these time markers the other day, I realized that it's kind of been a blur in some respects, which is why I sometimes, but maybe not often enough, slow down, get quiet, and despite my many, many missteps along the way, I think about Psalm 143:5, and it says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. And as we go through this evening, I hope perhaps a panorama of your Christian life will pass before your eyes, and that this teaching will help you realize all that God has done to bring you from wherever you were until where you are this evening. So, your turn to Luke 8, but I want to refer to the record in Luke 17. 10 lepers, it says, stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. Now, it's kind of a leper choir, apparently. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourself to the priests. And the next part of the verse says, and as they went, they were healed. Now we know one of them came back and thanked him and so forth. But as they went, they were healed. And I guess that's kind of how I have lived, just keep going, and God will provide. Step out. He'll put something under your foot that you can stand on. So I know I'm not as reflective as I should be. My dear wife and my dear daughter are two of the most powerfully reflective believers that I know. I'm trying to learn from them. But we do need moments of reflection to see the big picture of our lives and appreciate all that God and the Lord Jesus have done and are doing for us. We want to be aware day by day. Christine wants me to send her three things I'm thankful for each day. And I haven't done it every day, but anyway, because this helps us trust God and the Lord Jesus in the future, okay? So Luke 8, verse 4, a familiar record, but we'll just read it. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town. It's because he was, if you read the first three verses, he was casting out spirits and doing miracles and healing people, and that's a pretty attractive package. So he told this parable. Farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path. It was trampled on. The birds of the air ate it up. Oh, that's too bad. Verse 6, some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And of course, Jesus is still saying that to the world. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And I will close by telling you, maybe in one respect, the main thing that this ministry needs, and it'll relate to this admonition of Jesus right here. So stay tuned. His disciples asked him, what are you talking about? Verse 10, he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, which of course, remember, they're Jews, the kingdom, all of that is about Israel. Okay, we get to be a part of the millennial kingdom, but it's basically all of the prophecies about it relate to Israel and the Jews. Has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. So here's the meaning of the parable. Verse 11, the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they don't have any root. They believe for a while, kairos, interesting use of that word there, but in the time, kairos, of testing, they fall away. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, distractions, riches, and pleasures. Is the word hedone. We get the English word hedonism, pleasure, for pleasure's sake. That does not include the World Series. And they do not mature. Verse 15, listen to this verse. Because I think this is you. And maybe we've been at different places in this parable, but verse 15 is where we want to be. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart Now, that's my responsibility, not God's. I'm the one that determines whether I have a noble and good heart, because I can make choices. Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The word perseverance there, or persevering, the Greek word is hupomone, the noun, hupomeno, the verb. Looked it up. One of them bear concordances. It's a really cool definition. Now, by the way, the English word, persevere. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it misspelled, persevere. But that takes away the meaning of it, because the word, the prefix P-E-R means through what? Through severe times. So when you stick an R in there, it wrecks the word. Okay? So here's the definition from the Leprechaun I Insulted. It says, steadfast constancy, endurance. It's translated that way sometimes. Now listen to this one. The characteristic of one who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. That is deep. I'll read it again. The characteristic of one. That could be you. That could be me. Who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. And then it goes on, a patient, steadfast, waiting for. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Jesus, who is coming back for us. Will it be in 17 days? I highly doubt it, but it's fine. I'd be fine. Yeah. A patient, enduring, sustaining perseverance, unquote. Now, fruitful perseverance requires us to establish and maintain godly priorities. You live in the same world I do, and there are 50 million things vying for our attention, our energy, our time, many battles we can fight. So we got to choose wisely where we expend our energy. I got all these messenger things about that college campus in Oklahoma. They're taking the cross off the steeple on the chapel. And all these people wrote me and said, send this to everyone you know, a short video about it. I'm not sending it to anybody. That's not my fight. I don't have time for that. Abortion. Not a battle that I'm choosing to fight and picket an abortion clinic and all that kind of thing. And neither am I going to go sit in a church where I can't make an impact and just be part of an audience, okay? Because think about this. Now, seriously, folks. Who can do what you can do? Now, what I'm talking about, what you can do, is teach God's truth. Who knows the truth that you know in the world today? Now, I mean, think about it. Of course, we go down the line, the Trinity ruining countless things about God, Jesus. And by the way, God is not the Lord God anymore. Jesus is Lord. God is God, etc. Dead people are not dead. They're alive. Jesus died in vain. Everybody's going to live forever. All that. God is in control. That hideous, hideous, hideous theology that just cripples people's faith. And then, especially in relationship to the hubbub about the eclipses and the Revelation 12 stuff on September 23, the administrations in Scripture. I might write the October Fruit of the Divine or do the October WebEx about that, because it's just been driving me crazy. The number of people who send me these videos, oh, you got to see this. Okay, I'll watch it. I've watched a bunch of them. They're all about signs in the heavens. It has nothing to do with Christians or Christianity. They were put there for the Jews. Okay, there are no signs preceding the rapture. There's nothing we're supposed to watch for. I'll tell you what we're supposed to watch for. Hungry people. That's what we're supposed to watch for. So I sat there with my calculator the other day, or as I was working on this, and I thought, okay. My puppy has buried her head under the pillow. She doesn't want to hear the teaching. So there's 7 billion people, roughly. So I thought, okay, 7,000 would be one out of a million, I think, if I calculated correctly. Are there 7,000 living humans who know the truth that you know? Well, I don't think there'd be many more than that if there are that many. Seriously. I mean, look across the spectrum of Christianity. You're going to cross off 98% of them on the topics that I just mentioned. And so in any case, I think you literally maybe are one in a million. So that ought to brighten your day, put a spring in your step. So our priority is to intimately know Jesus Christ, and thereby God, our Father, so that together, when we find some like-minded saints, we can vividly represent God and Christ to people in our world. And of course, that's going to mean a certain amount of fellowship, koinoniaful sharing with each of God and Christ, prayer, studying the Word, you know these things, and taking time. And of course, the world is trying to suck us dry that we don't have any quiet time with God. So one thing this is going to do, and we're about to get into lots of good verses, it will enable us to sink our spiritual roots deeply. I'm not going to read that verse in Colossians, but that's one of them, rooted and grounded. And what that does, we're going to tap into their energy so that we keep going. We all know that little energizer bunny who is extremely annoying. For some reason, I ran 3 marathons. New York, 79 and 84, and Washington, D.C., 86. That's 26.2 miles each. Can't remember why I did that. But I never stopped putting one foot ahead of the other. Unfortunately, each of the 3 days was hot and humid. A guy died in New York in 84 during the race. And so I did walk part of the way, but I never stopped. And so what we're going to see in these scriptures this evening, they're not that many, is about energized endurance, tapping into the power of God and Christ, taking their hand, as we heard in the manifestations, and keep going. And of course, they'll carry you part of the way if you need it, you know that. So, so here we go. Colossians 1, 24 to 29, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what I suffered for you, what was suffered is what he suffered. I rejoice in what I suffered for you. Oh my gosh. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the ecclesia, church. Excuse me. Church is a terrible word. So you read the first chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, talks about the messenger or the angel to the churches. Has nothing to do with Christianity. It means a bunch of folks. The word ecclesia, you know that. In the book of Acts, it was a mob one time. Okay? So I try not to use that word so much. So what Paul's talking about here is those of us who are part of the body of Christ, if we step out following Jesus, we're going to suffer the same kinds of persecution and opposition that he did. And so we're filling up the whole, his whole ministry. 25. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. What would that be? Keep reading. The secret. Most of you know the word mystery, terrible translation. Mysterion did not mean a mystery in the Greek language, world literature. It meant a secret. A mystery no one understands. A secret someone understands. He can pass it on to others. It's been kept hidden for ages and generations. That's why there's no prophecy in Genesis to Malachi or in anything Jesus said in the four Gospels about Christianity. It's a totally different program than Israel. I said that last month. The church did not come out of Israel. We do not have Jewish roots. It's a completely different ball game. The secret that's been kept hidden for ages and generations but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, here's a verse you know, I think, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this secret, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's not the secret. It's the riches of the glory, like the battery at the center of it that puts the light out, the glory, the Spirit of God in Christ in you. It's not literal. It's by way of the Spirit. And the last two verses here. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect, mature in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling, agonizomai, crawling forward through the mud sometimes to keep going with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So, with all his energy is energeia, and which so powerfully works in me is energeo, the verb. Forgive my pronunciation. So, these are the two words we'll see in most of these verses. Energizing and perseverance, so that we keep going. You can go to Hebrews 12. I'm going to quote some familiar verses in the meantime here. Hebrews 12. Most of you are familiar with, and I'll just quote them while you're turning to Hebrews. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Wonderful verses. You might have a tattoo of them. I don't know. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's a faith builder. According to his power that is at work, energeo, within us. To him be glory in the ecclesia I wish you could read it in the English. And in Christ Jesus, that was a drug flashback. Keep reading. Here we go. And in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. That's what we're trying to tap into, the energy of God. Hebrews 12. Verse 1, of course, Jesus, as always, is our prime example. And it says, therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, because of the litany of believers in chapter 11, the cloud of witnesses, not because they're up in heaven, come on, but because we have the written record of their lives. And so, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, do you get the privilege that is ours to understand just that right there? It's not talking about your grandmother and everyone else who's passed. Okay, the NFL opens this week. We can have some passing. But most people that die pass away. In fact, every one of them. Okay? Words have meanings. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us be motivated by their examples. Yikes, I haven't gone through anything like a lot of those guys in Hebrews 11 did. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with, hey, your new friend, hupomone, perseverance, the race that is marked out for us. Who marked it out for us? Jesus. He blazed a trail of trust to the heart of God. And we can follow in his steps. Let us, here's a good key to doing so, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, not the circumstances, not our own weaknesses, but Jesus, who is beckoning us forward always. The author, the archegos, the first one in line, in a rank or file. And we, even though we are rank, are following him. And the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What was his energy source to endure? He was plugged into God. Scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, means to really think about it, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're all in the church epistles with one stop in James and one in Timothy. We've got Timothy. You don't have to go to the pesky books like Habakkuk and so forth. What am I talking about? 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, a few verses right here, starting in verse 3. I'm trying not to have to get a new Bible. I had this NIV since Christmas of 1987, when my dear parents presented it to me. Maybe like you, I had been glued to the King James Version for 20 years back in the day. So we have 2 Corinthians 1, 3-7. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. There's a lot of good words in here I don't have time to unpack. And the God of all comfort, paraklesis, that's a good one, the comforter, so forth, which has nothing to do with Christianity because it's John 16. 14, 15, 16 is talking about the future during the tribulation. Who comforts us, I love these verses, in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, we just read about it, Colossians 1, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. And of course, this too shall pass. Our suffering is almost always temporary, but we get to keep the comfort. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance. Produces is energeo, endurance is hupomone. The same sufferings we suffered, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So here we have, tapping into God's energy, his comfort, so that we can keep going. Here's some great verses. You'll love them. I know you already do. Romans 5, 1. Back in the good old book of Romans, if you have nothing else to do, we do have an audio seminar of Romans, 18 hours. Of course, you got to put up with me. But that'll get you more rewards. Okay, Romans 5, 1 to 11, golden verses. Abraham was credited to him for righteousness, chapter 4, 5, 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. It literally means the introduction. Pretty cool word. Who introduced us to God? Jesus. Because back in the day, in the Hebrew scriptures, you couldn't get near God. One guy got to go in once a year. The rest of us were milling around. Outside. But Jesus opened the door and said, come on in. I'm going to introduce you to God. By faith, into this grace in which we now stand. There's so many truths in these verses, but we're just going to let them wash over our hearts. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in, not about, it's no fun, but in our sufferings, thlipsis, mental pressure. Because we know, watch this now, that suffering produces hupomone, perseverance. If we hang in there, now they say what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. That can be true, sure, yes, absolutely. If we look to God to hang in there. Suffering in and of itself doesn't make anybody stronger. It's whether or not we respond to suffering with faith, which means trust. And we take God's hand and Jesus' hands, why you have two hands, and we go through these things. We persevere. Perseverance produces character, godliness in the depth of your heart, so that when no one is looking, you do the right thing. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by Holy Spirit. No article D, no capital letters. Then the NIV is terribly Trinitarian. The next word, whom, the Greek preposition is which he has given us. Very awesome. You see, at just the right time, Kairos, verse 6, when we were still powerless, why? Because we were dead in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. At the very moment, remember 3 p.m., when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed? Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love unto us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died in place of, is the preposition, us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, standing for his death, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? What is that talking about? We're not going through the tribulation, or half of it, or one-fourth of it, or anything. Nothing in the book of Revelation directly refers to the church. We'll be long gone. Now, that's too esoteric for me to go into, but it was an Advil commercial done by Nolan Ryan, former Texas Rangers pitcher. The pain was long gone. Never mind. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved in his life? Last verse, not only is this so, but we also rejoice, is really the word boast. We boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And we go to the book of James to see some similar verses, only four of them, Hebrews, James, chapter 1. Hope you're having a good time. I am kind of getting some energy as I go along here. I'm not used to talking like this. Hi, Lily. All right, that's dinner verse dribble. James 1, verse 2. It's written to former Jews who had become Christians. James 1, 2 to 4, classic verses. Oh, golly, there's a bunch of 50-cent words in here. But consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Is that my normal reaction? Does that come naturally to me? No. Because, so, if I'm going to do what that says, then I got to grasp what follows. Because you know that the testing, so many words in here, golly, cool Greek words, of your faith develops hupomone. Next verse, perseverance, same word, must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, look what godly perseverance will do for you. It will strengthen you. It will complete you. And then, verse 12 is kind of cool. Blessed is the man who hangs around. When Jesus talked about abide in me, I think abide is M-E-N-O, meno, meno, whatever, and then hupo means under. So abide under. And that's what this says here. Blessed is the man who perseveres. Just hang in there under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That is very cool. Colossians chapter 1. We're bouncing around in the epistles here. Colossians 1. Nine to 14, just so you'll know when I'm going to stop reading here. Okay. Colossians 1, for this reason, since today we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the epigenosis, the thoroughly applied knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Worthy means in balance. Same word as Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy. There's another Ephesians-Colossians connection. And may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. You need strength to endure. I could tell you that. You know it, but I haven't had quite as much strength as I've had all my life recently. And to keep going or keep walking somewhere takes a little strength. That you may have great endurance and patience. And hupomone is translated patience some places also. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. The kingdom is not in that verse in the text. It is in the next. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And the word kingdom there in 13 is juxtaposed with the dominion of darkness. I'm not talking about the church as part of the Israel program or anything like that. Pretty simple. 1 Thessalonians just to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're turning into the home stretch here. Or we're getting close to turning into it. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. Two verses, 2 and 3. Well, Paul and Silas, verse 1, to the ecclesia in God the Father, and that's the dynamic duo. Verse 2, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before God, our God and Father, your work produced by faith. If I think produces energeo. Your labor prompted by love. You have work, labor, and endurance produced by faith, love, and hope. Kind of a cool verse there. Your labor prompted by love, because Galatians 5:6 says that faith is energized by love. So love, of course, plays a big role. And then your hupomone inspired, sounds like Italian ice cream, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll go to chapter 2, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. These are just very pertinent verses that we all can afford to hear many times. 2:13, got it? And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, you heard from us. This is a great verse. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Hey, that's going to be another verse that pertains to my closing remark. The only thing, or the primary thing, that TLTF needs. Stay tuned. It's coming up. Verse 14, for you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches. Imitators, great word. Mimeo, mimetes, mimic, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen. Remember Acts 17? These were more noble than those at Thessalonica, who had people come all the way over to persecute Paul in other cities. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, those groups who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. There's always going to be opposition. We just got to keep going. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. Everybody's going to get what's coming to him. Nobody's getting away with anything. Okay? There's very little justice in this world today. But one day, it'll be Judge Jesus, not Judge Judy. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But, brothers, 17, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, I kind of feel that way. I've been kind of homebound compared to my roaming the planet for 40 years of late. But I think about many, many dear brethren, and I always appreciate hearing from you. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see your face, is the text. It's better that way in the King James, because your face is you. I can see faces here on the little rectangles on my screen. That's you, your face. For we wanted to come to see you, wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan hindered us. Really? Why? Because God told him to. Because God is in control, and everything that happens is part of God's plan, and Satan is just a pawn of God. This is a great verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, to share with people if you're in a discussion on that topic. Verse 19, he hindered. Yeah, we're facing opposition. Takes effort to keep going. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory? In the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? It's you, babe. Indeed, you are our glory and joy. A big three. Someone done gone and went and flang a big three. Right? Let's just keep going for five more verses. See if it's perhaps a better place to stop. So when we could, so is a connective word. Come on, I don't need a big three there. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens, and we sent Timbo, Rambo's cousin, who was our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. We need one another's encouragement. I'm so thankful for the kind and encouraging words that I have received from countless believers in the last 3.5 years of battling this junk that we will defeat. You know quite well that we were destined for them, not in some predestination, but the fact is, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. We're going to 1 Timothy chapter 6, right on down the line here to the right. 1 Timothy 6, some really cool verses. We'll read 11 to 20, then one section in 2 Timothy, and then we'll wrap up with a couple of really cool verses. And finally, divulge what is the main thing we need in TLTF. 1 Timothy 6:11. I hope you're still with us. All right. But you, this is the last, this is the ending of this epistle. I don't know if Paul knew that he was going to be able to write yet another epistle to Timothy closer to the end of his life. But in any case, it's kind of a poignant charge from Paul to Timothy. But you, man of God, flee from all this. The previous junk people were getting sucked into. Unbelievable how the enemy has tried all along, from the time that you and I heard the word and this good seed was planted in us and before us, whatever. And he's tried at many junctures, and he's probably succeeded in distracting me when I shouldn't have been, or in turning me on a side road that was just, But you keep going, and you get back on track. Flee from all this and pursue. So you're fleeing. That flee is a action word. What did you say? Flee. Fire! You're going to flee. You don't just saunter. Saunter is not a synonym for flee. Pursue is the opposite of flee. It's going go after something rather than away. And it indicates the same degree of effort. Pursue is a strong word. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the life in the coming age to which you were called. About 70 times it says eternal or everlasting life. The word A-I-O-N, it means life in the coming age, just for the record. To which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I'm not sure what your good confession was, but the starting point of your Christian life. Maybe before you go to sleep tonight, you could take a few minutes and think about where you were. I mean, I don't have any lurid testimony of God delivering me for being a jock, but a lot of people do. They were delivered from death's door and set on the path of righteousness. Verse 13, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you, Timothy, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus. I don't like the word the return of Christ. I mean, I don't hate it. It's okay. You're not going to be hit by lightning. But the words, there's four Greek words, and they're all visual. Apocalypsis, phanerosis. He's not absent. He's not the absent Christ. He doesn't have to return because he's still here with us by way of Holy Spirit, which we read about. Okay? So they say he's awaiting the return. I like awaiting the appearing. Plus, it's an alliteration of our Lord Jesus. Verse 15, here we go. Hang in there. Which he will bring, is the text, about in his own time, Kairos, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in an unapproachable light, which no one can see, has seen, or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. And he wraps up 17 to 20. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. That's pretty easy to do if you got lots of money, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly, I love this verse, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God is a lavish Father. He wants you to eat food that you like, especially if it's good for you, and be blessed and share of your abundance so that He can keep bringing more and more to you and keep the cycle going, because it's a joy to give and it's so cool to receive. I was a receiver in football at one point. Do you know? And so here we are. We get out of the huddle. We line up. And it's a pass play, and I'm one of the options. So to get the ball, I have to run the proper pattern. Now, just because I run the proper pattern in football, he may throw it to someone else, or he may throw it 8 feet over my head when I do run the proper pattern. But it was so cool when I ran the pattern, and he hit me, so to speak. And there it is, this pigskin thing. Oh, love the smell of it. There it was in my hands, and I was racing along until I was crushed by some giant person. Okay? So receiving is a joy, just like giving. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. Get that? That's a cool phrase. To be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they lay up treasure for themselves. See, because the treasures in this world are fleeting. You got moths. You got rust. Lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life. What a phrase. The life that is truly life. Is that a cool phrase or what? 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Here we go. We're going to read 13 verses, and then we're definitely in the home stretch. You then, my son, be strong in the grace. It's the voice of the verb. It's not passive, it's not active. I think you call it middle, where you summon up strength and God provides the strength. Anyway, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say. What's he talking about? The secret, including which parts of Scripture are written to whom, Christians or Israel. In the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men. Oh, that's going to pertain to my final statement. What's the primary thing TLTF needs? I had no idea this was going to come together like that. Who will be qualified to teach others also goes there. That's a great verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. Here we go. Verse 3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. I said it earlier, priorities. I don't have time to argue about a cross on a steeple and all of that stuff. Come on. I got places to go, people to see, and things to tell them. So do you. He doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Verse 5. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Here's the third metaphor here. Got a soldier, an athlete, and now a farmer. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying. For the Lord, that's Jesus, not God, will give you insight into all this. And then 8 to 13 is classic. Remember Jesus Christ. That's always a good idea. Raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. He's writing from a prison cell in Rome. But God's word is not shamed. We just got to get it out there in the airwaves. Oh, that's going to pertain into the closing statement. Yeah. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Who are the elect? The elect are those of us who chose to vote for God. Yeah. We elected God as our God. Not like predestination. God chooses you. Sorry, you're a good guy, but you're going to fry forever. That they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, I hope you understand these next three verses. Here is a trustworthy saying. They're really cool. If we died with him, we will also live with him. What's that talking about? Salvation, being born again, incorruptible seed. We're guaranteed to have life in the coming age. Verse 12 is different. It's about what do you do after you get born again. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Living and reigning are not the same. Verse 11 and verse 12. If we endure, if we hang in there, if we just keep going in the right direction, we will receive abundant rewards. If we deny is the word. Now, it's in the context, it's the opposite of enduring. It has nothing to do with losing your salvation. Keep reading, come on. If we deny him, he will also deny us for rewards, for reigning, that kind of thing. 13, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Even if you've given up years ago, had a 10-year hiatus from Christianity, whatever, God, you still belong to God, you're still bought with the blood of Christ, he cannot disown himself. If you died with him, you're going to live with him. But we want to reign with him, which means we got to hang in there. Now, if you pass Ephesians 6, which you will, on the way to 1 Corinthians 16, grab it. Grab Ephesians 6. That's we're going to close with two verses there. But I got one verse in 1 Corinthians 16, which I'll get to here. Where am I? 1 Corinthians 16. All right. Not a big chapter that everybody knows, but anyway. All right. So I hope that it's, you know, the Lord's ministering to your heart. That's my prayer in all of these verses. They're fabulous truths, and however they need to be applied in your life, I hope that's what's happening for you this evening. So, chapter 16, kind of an interesting little verse. Oh, well, verse 5. After I go through Macedonia, I'll come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay with you a while, which is two words. Please don't distort the King's English. Or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I'd like to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. Verse 8. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, verse 9, because a great door for effective work has opened to me. Effective might be a form of energeo, can't remember. And there are many who oppose me. What a verse. A great door has opened for me at Ephesus, and there are many who oppose me. We're going to close Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Thank you, thank you, thank you. for taking your time this evening to join us. I'm going to talk about Franco and me here in a minute. I'll just go ahead and do that right now while you're turning to Ephesians 6. Franco just spoke with him earlier. He and Christina are in Boulder, I think it is, Colorado, north of Denver. He saw a doctor there today who is like the only guy on earth who does this particular procedure that he needs. And Franco was blown away by this gentleman. He sat there with them like they were his only patients. He brought out all these plastic skeletons and everything, showed him exactly what's going on with Franco's herniated discs in his neck. And he said, I do have the skill set to help you. And I'm going to do my best for you tomorrow. So tomorrow morning, they're going to, I guess, stick a giant needle into Franco's throat and back into his spinal cord because he has some wear and tear on that. I don't understand the whole procedure, but he'll be sedated. They can't knock him out for it. So we really appreciate your prayers. He's been working with pain for 5 years, and he's the graphic artist, and his hand and arm that do the mouse and all of that. So that'd be tomorrow morning. We're going to call them after I get off here and pray with them, and bless this doctor, bless his heart. And we want this to do the job for Franco. He said he should know by the holidays if this works. And then on Tuesday, Elizabeth and I and Lily the dog are going to Cincinnati. My naturopath here connected me with a gentleman in Cincinnati. We had one conversation. He's a Russian gentleman. And he's going to do plasmapheresis, where he's going to take out a lot of my bad plasma and replace it with good stuff to help good plasma grow. That's about as simple. That's about as much as I understand it. So it's about as simple as I can make it. And it's a three-day procedure, 3 hours a day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll be there coming home Thursday afternoon. So appreciate your prayers for that. And we're also exploring some other really cool stuff that I think might be helpful for many other people we know with chronic illness and so forth. So we'll keep you posted, and we certainly appreciate your prayers. So a great door, 1 Corinthians 16:9. Now we go to Ephesians 6:19. Here's Paul signing off to the greatest revelation ever given to Christians, the book of Ephesians. He says, verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will boldly, fearlessly, make known the secret of the gospel. Look, the privilege that you and I have to understand the secret is unparalleled in the history of Christianity. We've talked about that. It's this centerpiece of one day with the Creator. Well, Jesus is, but and the end times and Jesus Christ, the diameter of the ages. If you don't have those videos, if you're not working your way through them, let me know. I'll send them to you, the links, because there's so much involved in the secret. Basically, all of the major theological doctrines of Christianity are wrapped up in it. And again, just to hit it one more time, what parts of the Bible are written to Christians? And what parts are written to Israel in the past or Israel in the future? We'd save a lot of time if we understood those things, and a lot of trouble. So he says, pray for me when I open my mouth to teach, that words may be given me so that I will boldly make known the secret of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So, I'm figuring you know the secret. I know it because I can read. So what is it? What's the main thing that TLTF, the Living Truth Fellowship, needs? An audience. That's what we need. God will provide the finances as he has for 7.5 years. Now, we don't have a lot of expenses, but we need an audience. We need doors of utterance open. And they're not all for me. Yeah, Elizabeth and I are expecting to get some kind of RV and run around and teach the word, but so what? We can only be one place at one time. But you can be another place, and you can be another place, and so forth. So let's pray for laborers in the harvest and pray for the harvest, because the beautiful package of truth that we can present to people never ceases to blow my mind. I don't know why I get to know it, why you get to know it when other people don't, but we should tell them, really. So what do we need? We need an audience. So I encourage you to go find an audience of one, or two, or three, or four, or whatever. And what we're really looking for are faithful men and women who will teach others also. So, what a thrill to be with you this evening. I definitely got stronger as I went along. Thank God for that. And we're here for you. We would love to hear from you. If you don't support TLTF financially, I think you should. If we bless you. If we don't bless you, forget it. Give it to the Pope or somebody. But if we do bless you, a few dollars a month would be helpful. So thank you for your prayers for Franco tomorrow, for us next week. We just want to crush these damnable things and anything attacking you, and get out there and be full bore for the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and thank you so much for tuning in, and please let us know how we can be of service to you. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these precious people from coast to coast and around the world who are tuned in. Lord, you know each of us. In one respect, each of us is an idios. We do it our own way. I've done it my own way too many times, which makes me an idiot. But I just pray for your hand of blessing, protection, goodness, grace on each one of these as I scroll through and see these names and faces of people that have meant so much to me for so many years. Thank you for giving me favor and giving us favor with all hungry people on the earth, people that want to know the truth. Lord, bring us into the foreground. And the message that we have, that's all we want, the message to get out, the secret that is still a secret for most Christians. Gee-many. So we praise you, we bless you, we thank you, because we know your will is always healing and wholeness and goodness and graciousness to us. And we know that you're doing things for us that we don't have the slightest idea about yet, and maybe we won't until the appearing of Christ. So Thank you for watching over us. Bless Franco and Christina and their doctor tomorrow, and Mike and Elizabeth's time in Cincinnati next week. And just energize us that we can not only continue to keep going and persevere, but that we can pick up speed and bulk in our Christian growth. So thank you for the truth. We know you are coming back for us. It could be tonight. Could be September 23rd. Could be right after the World Series. Amen. God bless you. I love you dearly. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in, being with us tonight. Thank you, Mark, for hosting the fellowship. We'll play a little muzak and take some time before you go to sleep to think about the panorama of your Christian life. Bless you.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in the Spirit, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding,
I shall not be moved.
And in Him I'm confiding,
I shall not be moved.
Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Though all men assail me,
I shall not be moved.
Jesus will not fail me,
I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters.